Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so thrilled to share this conversation with you today. Today we are joined by Ellie Holcomb, singer, songwriter, and new author of the book Fighting Words. I think you guys are going to love this conversation so much. We talk all about what fighting words mean. We talk about what it was like for her to make the switch from writing songs to writing this devotional. I treasured this conversation so much because Ellie has been a person who has been in my earbuds for most of my adult life. And so I just think this conversation was so special. So I'm so thrilled for you to join me. But before we get to the conversation, I want to share about one of our sponsors, the Shine Bright Journal. The Shine Bright Journal is a free resource that you can go download today. It's a 100-page journal that will help you unpack a lot of the things that we talk about around here. Like, how do we radiate the heart of Jesus into our life, our work, our relationships? We'll walk through scripture. You'll have space to pray and just really unpack what God is doing in your heart. So I hope you'll go grab it today at radicalradiance.live. All right. Help me give Ellie a big welcome to the show. Ellie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm just so beyond thrilled to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. And thanks for letting me come on and hang out.
Oh, this is going to be so fun. Okay. There's just so much that we have to talk about because you have been in my life long before we have been friends, which started like 2 minutes ago. But it is just such a treat to talk to you because I look back at the last, probably decade of my life. And when even this morning, I was looking at your past albums and I can almost tie seasons of my life to your work, which is really cool. Like when I look back at songs and even an album, and I'm so excited to talk about Canyon, your new album and your devotional. We have a lot of ground to cover, but it's just so fun to get to connect with you and chat after like you being in my earbuds for so many years of my life. It's so fun.
Oh, I love that. Well, thanks for listening. It always feels like the coolest. We're all that way, right? There's music. It's kind of like the soundtrack to our lives. And I just feel continually humbled that I get to kind of sing alongside people, some of whom I know, and then a lot of whom I, hadn't gotten to meet yet. So
That's so fun. Okay. I have to hear all about the Ryman. I died when I heard that you were headlining the Ryman. And okay, here's what you also, I know, right? Yeah. So I'm a Tennessee girl. I lived in Tennessee my entire life until I married my husband a couple years ago. We're doing ministry down here in South Mississippi. And so that was so sweet to me. And I was like, man, I have to ask her, like, what was it like for your heart to do that and to be there in that space after like so many years being in this industry and just being in Nashville? Like, tell me all about it.
Yeah. When I found out, I don't think I ever would have like actively pursued that on my own because it just is such a huge deal. I've played there a ton, which is that in and of itself is crazy. But with my husband's fam, with other, as a guest artist on all kinds of things, it almost feels like home, like an extension of home for us in Nashville because we're there quite often for the Opry or playing at fringe shows or whether it's our own shows. But I never dreamed in a million years that I would ever play there. And my story with the Ryman, obviously growing up, it's the birthplace of country music. Legendary, special room. But Drew and I's first date was at the Ryman Auditorium.
And that's amazing.
It was during that day we were at a Patti Griffin concert, and over the course of that concert, I went from like, "Oh, this is like my best guy friend. This is not going to work out." Like walking in, I was like, "This is such a bummer. He's such a great guy, but it's just not like that with us." By the end of the show, I was like, "I am going to spend the rest of my life like with this."
Stop.
Man. Like I knew that I was.
That's
going
to the marry. Coolest.
So never dreamed in 1 million years that we would end up playing there one day. And then especially never dreamed that I would headline there. So I was so humbled. Oh, and then all of our kids, because we played there over the course of the years, all of our kids have slept in one of the showers backstage in the green rooms in a pack and play while we played. They've stood side stage in pajamas and cowboy boots. Rivers, our third, took his first steps backstage at the Ryman. So for me to get to play the songs that I've been writing really felt like the integration of everything that God has just given to our family, and our kids came out and sang. And then all of these people, a lot of times I'm doing shows like women's conferences and fundraisers. I don't tour traditionally that often, mainly because I want to be home with my babies. So, and I do that with three some. And so just for us to do like life work balance, I don't tour like traditionally very often. And so it was the sweetest gift to see all these people in that room who, kind of like you were just sharing, Rebecca, have let these songs, like God's just done what he wanted to do with my music. And I just felt like I was looking at a picture of a little glimpse of it.
That's overwhelmingly so amazing.
Humbling and beautiful. And I think too, the Ryman's one of my favorite rooms to sing in, and namely to get the whole crowd singing in. And so we ended the night with How Great Thou Art. We're all singing I'm a Canyon, and then came back out and sang How Great Thou Art. And I think in the wake of a year and a half of just a lot of isolation, I think to hear that many people's voices coming together and singing a song of hope, even in a time that still has a lot of uncertainty in it. I'll never forget it. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that so much. So last Saturday night, I guess it was Saturday. Yeah, before Hurricane Ida came for Louisiana and Mississippi, some friends of ours had an extra ticket or a pair of tickets to go see Harry Connick Jr. And he was playing up in Jackson, which is close to where we live. And I'd never seen him before. It was the sweetest concert, probably because I haven't been to a concert in a year and a half, but it was that much more special. And in the same way, like, so he has his new album, I think it's called Alone in My Faith, and he covers a lot of hymns and things like that. And so towards the end of the concert, he played through a bunch of those. And in a very similar way, he sang How Great Thou Art towards the end of the concert. And it was just so sweet to just declare those words like over our city and over our state. Even in the midst of what we were about to experience throughout a really bad storm. But just like declaring those truths about God that are true despite a hurricane, despite civil unrest, despite what's going on in our country right now, it just blessed my heart so much. So I can only imagine putting myself in your shoes and doing that at the Ryman had to be so special for you and Drew and your family.
There's something I think about us. I just love that, which, by the way, you're on a podcast right now, so I'm guessing you're okay in the wake of the storm.
Yes, we are. Praise God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm like, you have electricity. That's amazing.
We do. Yes.
We're so
thankful.
I read over a million people without power. And I'm like, that is, we got hit by the tornado last year and didn't have power for a week. And that is I didn't realize how much I relied on power, but man, that's that's no small thing. So anyway, I think there is something beautiful about singing in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the uncertainty. And I think God knows that it's good for us, which, the first song ever recorded in the Bible, and this goes back to Red Sea Road, which I did not know this when I wrote that song and called my record that I was writing a worship magazine, a worship leader magazine article. And I was curious. I just got curious. I was like, when's the first song recorded in the Bible? The first song recorded in the Bible, some people say Genesis 1 is like in the form of an archaic Hebrew poem, which that's beautiful. Yeah. This is kids' book land. But God sang the earth into being. And why did he do that? Because he made the whole earth and every single one of us to sing the song of his goodness and his beauty and his light and his love. Like we were all made to do that in one way or another. But then the first official song recorded in the Bible is the one that Miriam and Moses and all the women with the tambourine sing after the Red Sea. And the first line of the first song recorded in the Bible is, I will sing to the Lord. And I just think that's no mistake. I think he knows that it is good even when we don't feel it, like that offering a sacrifice of praise or something when we sing that connects our body to the truth that we're singing. And
yeah.
I don't know, it helps. It helps me.
Just taking a quick break in today's show to tell you about one of our sponsors, Jian. Jian makes yoga, fitness, and wellness products with you in mind. They have beautiful designs and products that will make you fall in love with your fitness and wellness journey all over again. Jian has created a coupon code just for the Radical Radiance community for 20% off site-wide. Now, this does exclude hand weights, so you can go grab whatever you want today at jian.com. That's G-A-I-A-M.com. Use the code RADICAL, all uppercase, at checkout. So I hope you enjoy that. Let's get back to our conversation. It helps me too. It helps me too. And it just reminds me of who he is. Like, and some, and that in like the form of worship, just, you're right, it points us back to truth and it points us back to who he is and who he is in the midst of our lives, which really brings me to why we're here today, because I'm so excited to talk about your new devotional. And when I saw the cover of it, I got really excited because we all remember your song fighting words. And yeah. I love that you've taken sort of this thought and this sort of theme and turned it into a devotional book. So I just want to hear, like, what was that path like for you and God when you were like, okay, I think this is more than a song. I want to encourage people through like the written word in this way.
Yeah, I love it. It's so funny. It's definitely been a journey. I swore that I would never write a book, period. I swore that I'd never be a musician. I'm basically doing all the things I swore I would never do. I guess that's, I don't know, God has ordained that or something. I'm like, you have a sense of humor. Cause I'm like, no. And finally I wrote books for children and I'm like, yes, that's okay. Fine, I'll do that. Never for the adults. Sorry, I'm not doing that. And he's like, actually, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So it's been a journey. But honestly, I think for me, Fighting Words comes from, that song came from really a story that has transformed my life. That is a story that started, you know, almost 14 years ago. I met a girl at a Young Life camp who battled depression. And sitting across from her one day, we became friends and kept up. We ended up at the same Young Life camp the next summer. And I'd seen Jesus enter into her story is one of battling depression. Pastor's kid, nobody knew that was happening. And she was like, looked perfect on the outside, falling apart on the inside. And God met her in that. Well, the next summer, she's just like this trophy of grace. But there are, just speaking of knowing that she's not alone in that. It's not like she met Jesus and her depression all went away. I'm not saying that God can't do that. I know that he can. He doesn't always. And so I was sitting across from her and there were so many lies that she was believing. Lies about who she was, lies about who God was. And in the middle of the conversation, I started to get mad, not at her, but at the enemy who's called the father of lies. And when he speaks, lies are his native language, that punk. And I'm just going, there are so many lies that I believe too. And I am so sick of the enemy stealing our joy, our peace, the John 10:10, life to the full. I'd always focused on that verse. Oh, God comes to give us life to the full. But the first half of that verse is the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life to the full. And I was like, you know what? If God calls his word a sword, I was like, we might as well use it. I am not going down without a fight.
That's like, right.
He can eat it. And here's what he's going to eat. The word of the Lord. And so started flipping through my Bible. You know, when you're desperate, like, I don't know. You're like, I need some truth. And you just flip through your Bible for anything you'd ever underlined before. You know, you're like,
oh yeah, totally.
Okay. I underlined this. It helped at one point, like for some reason, and here it is again. So I started having her, I was like, pull out your journal. She was like, yes, ma'am. And she wrote down everything, all these verses that I had underlined. And I said, you and I are going to start memorizing scripture together. Cause here's the deal. I don't think that it is enough for us to just acknowledge the lie. Like that's a part of it saying, okay, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not true. But what we desperately need to do is replace the lie with something stronger than the lie, which is the truth. And so we started memorizing God's word together and we call them our fighting words. And it has been one of the most transformative practices of my life. And when I say that, I am not here to say that I've done this perfectly. I'm actually really bad at memorizing scripture. I don't want anybody to ever hear this and go like, oh, I'm a terrible Christian. I haven't done this. I'm like, I'm so bad at it. But here's what's happened. As we've committed God's word to memory, and in that process, you're meditating on the word of God because you're just trying to get it locked in. It has changed us, and it hasn't necessarily changed like circumstances, right? Like, again, like memorizing scripture didn't take my friend's depression away. It didn't it didn't change the hard things that we were walking through, but it changed us because it gave us this like solid ground to anchor down in, a shelter to rest under when the shame storms started coming in. And so I have over the years just, I mean, that's why I started writing music, was because I had a hard time memorizing scripture. And I just thought, well, it's really hard for me to memorize God's word, but it's so beneficial to my heart. Like, it is changing me. It's helping the truth sink in. When people ask for advice, his word ends up coming out. Or when I'm praying for someone, a lot of times I just like end up, once it's buried in and kind of locked in there, it's like you have this access to like light and hope and beauty wherever you go, whether you have a Bible or not. And so I just thought, man, I want to do this more, but I'm terrible at it. And so I started writing God's word into songs. And that's why I started writing music. I just thought, if I can sing this, maybe I'll believe it. And I would sit in God's word and let music come out. And so over the years, I've started this little corner on Instagram called Fighting Words Friday, where I share a verse that's been meaningful to me. I don't have all of those memorized, but a lot of them I work to kind of commit to memory and talk just about how they've changed me and let other people comment on that. And it has been the most, it's been such a vibrant place. I think our work as followers of Jesus is to remember. And so for me, one of the best ways that I help myself remember has been actually memorizing God's word. And so inviting other people to do that sort of in the form of a book, the subtitle's like 100 days of speaking the truth into the darkness. And, that has been what God's word has been for me. And I don't understand God's word fully. There's still parts of it that I'm like, what? How is that? Like, I am not here to be like a theological expert on anything, but I am here to say that his word has been a balm and a shelter and an anchor and a comfort and a light to me in some really dark places. And I hope to just offer those stories in his word to people and say, come join me. Like, he sets a feast for us. And I settle for the crumbs under the table a lot of days. And so it's like, let's go rest together in the green pastures of his word and let it revive. Our weary hearts. And so I'm so excited to see, you know, what, just how he will use what he says, that his word is like the rains that come down from the heavens and don't return to the heavens without first nourishing the earth and causing it to bud and flourish. So is the word that goes out of my mouth. It will accomplish the purposes for which I sent it. And so in some ways, I'm just sending out his word. I'm saying like, look at this. And I can't wait to see the flourishing and the nourishment and the comfort and the hope that will come from that. Because it's just who he is. And it's what his word does.
It's just who he is. I love that so much. It's so good. So one of the things that we talk about around here a lot is this idea of radiance that we see across scripture. And as you're talking about memorizing God's word, it makes me think of like just everything that we are about around here. And when God really started steering me in this direction for the podcast, he kept bringing that verse in Psalm 34 to mind. It's verse 5. It says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered in shame. Yeah. And I was on a podcast interview the other day, and this girl was asking me great questions that she should be asking me when it comes to radiance. I mean, things like, okay, Rebecca, well, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to be radiant? How do we become more radiant? Like, logical questions, right? And so, but I was struggling to answer because I think I was trying to come up with like this list of things to do, right? And I finally just looked at her and I said, you know, I could tell you a lot of things to do that would produce maybe this radiance in our lives, right? Like we read scripture, we meditate on God's word, we invest in community, we memorize scripture. But at the end of the day, and this is where the Holy Spirit came in and was just like, okay, this is it. Radiance is the byproduct of all of those things, right? Like when you abide in me, when you meditate on scripture, when you spend time in my word, when you develop a vibrant prayer life, like radiance is what happens in you. It's not the thing that we're striving for. That's not what this is about, but it's actually the thing that happens in us as we, you know, walk into the world with God's word on our hearts and in our minds. That radiance is what comes out of that. And I just love that that's what you're leading us towards in this message. And it's so needed, Ellie, right now. We need this. We need fighting words so bad now more than ever. And, you know, one of the things as I was just preparing for this and kind of reading the back cover of the book, I was thinking about loneliness and how much we struggle with that right now, probably in a different, and I would argue maybe more severe way than we ever have before.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. How, either in your friend's life or in your life, have you seen that be combated as you've walked more fully into this journey of developing your fighting words? Like, what does that look like for you and God?
Yeah, I think for me, I love everything that you just said. And that verse, the Psalm 34 verse is one of the devotions of fighting words. It's one of the 100 days, but it's one of my very favorites. And it's so interesting. I guess for me, and my mom has always said this, she's like, you cannot get in the presence of God. You can't come before the Lord in prayer and talk to him. It is impossible to spend time with him and to stay the same. Mm. Can't happen. And so it always used to make me so mad that when I would want advice or how do I deal with this drama at school or, you know, this hard situation, what should I do? Baby, go ask him, go talk to him. Go talk to him about this. Go pray for that person that's hard for you. And I used to get so mad and like, why do you always say that? I just want you to tell me what to do. She gave me tons of advice too. Don't worry. She could definitely do that too. But her biggest thing was, Elle, if you get in his presence, what he is intending for your heart, even in this trial, even in this hard thing, will come to fruition. It will come to fruition. And so I think for me, I've started, there's this beautiful poet, his name is Hafiz. And, he always says, he talks about talking to the friend, like the capital friend, God. I think for me, in this season and in different seasons that have been really lonely, and this is a pronounced loneliness season, the isolation season, I think for a lot of us, I think about how often I forget that I can talk to the friend. Like I can just come as I am because of who Jesus is. We can come as we are with our questions, with our doubt, shaking our fists at the sky. We can come mad. We can come sad. We can come carrying shame or regret, doubt. Like we can come as we are stumbling and tripping to the foot of the cross. And I think in some ways, memorizing scriptures helped me do that, especially in the Psalms, because David is so good at that. He's so human. Like if King David was our president, like he would be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He was a mess. And yet he was so good at pouring his heart out towards the Lord. And I've heard Tim Keller say this in a sermon before, but what God, like he talks about how we should take God at his word and quote his word back. Like God, David is always doing this. God, you said this, God. And what are you, my friend, Sarah Gilmore always says, what are you going to do about it, God? Kind of a mom, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, that's like a very honest way. Like, what are you going to do about this? This is what you said. And so he just I've heard Tim Keller say, when we quote God's word back to him in prayer, what father would not love to hear from their child, "Dad, you said this. Dad, you said this." And so I think there's been this beautiful thing that's happened in a way as I've learned to pray scripture, I've learned to memorize scripture and then pray it back to him. I feel like in a weird way, it's given me boldness to just come as I am with all of everything, to grieve, to weep, to lament in the presence of God, and to know that I am accepted and welcome and beloved, even in those really broken places.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that. And I'm even thinking, you know, we talk a lot about walking into, you know, what God has for us and kind of connecting our gifts and talents with, okay, how do we serve God in that around here? Like we have conversations about that wrestling out of that a lot. And you've been a songwriter for a long time, right? And I'm wondering, like, as you walked into this journey of writing a book that you never thought you would do, right? What even in you did God do as you kind of shifted from like songwriter mode to writing devotionals? Because that's, those are two very different things, right? Like what was that totally. Like for you?
Yeah. Children's books are way easier because they're honestly like a song. I was, and listen, I had some discussions. I'm probably like not supposed to say this promoting the book, but it was so hard. Basically what I say, and it's probably like the story that I'll tell, I'm like, this is fun. Because of the timing of, with COVID, everything being delayed and everything, the deadline to turn it in got moved up. So I ended up finishing a record and working on this book at the same time, which I highly don't recommend, like schedule for like mental health wise. Because I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot, Lord. But what was so beautiful because I had started a lot of these things, we kind of, as a starting place, started with these, like, with what I had shared on Instagram over the years, like started with some of those verses and but I'm not writing a book level of content. So it's just a little bit.
Right.
So it was like, it was pitched to me like, oh, see, you've already written this, basically.
The work's already done.
And I was like, oh, easy. Okay. I've already written the book.
Great.
I'll do it. God. And really prayed about it and felt like he was saying, like, yes, this is a good thing. This is my word. Like really felt like peace. Well, what I didn't really know that I was signing up for is, as I was editing this book, that God would be editing my heart. And often me, the writer, the author, you know, like supposedly the professional, I'm like, I still do not have this. I would be writing about it like frustrated that I have to be editing this for the seventh time. You know, it's just so many rounds of edits. And it was so beautiful because, as it turns out, it is true. You cannot be in the presence of God and your heart not be changed. And so it was just, it was so beautiful, because I think sometimes you can tell a story looking back, oh, God's word meant so much to me here in this place. And what was happening is I was really in over my head with work and family and the kids were at home. I mean, it was just it was an intense season for all of us. You were like working from home and trying to manage studio and then working on the book. What happened is it would lead me, God's word would lead me into intimacy with him. I'd be just like, oh, I'm going to get this done, and stressed out. And he's like, do not miss me here now, right now. This is for you. This table is set for you. This truth is still for you. You still need to hear this today in a different way than you did yesterday. So there are several times when I'm writing and then I'm like, and even just now, and you think about his word being alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, which really is actually in reference to Jesus, that whole thing in Hebrews, the scripture in and of itself that we have today wasn't in existence when Hebrews was written. And so I love that his word is alive, and then it's all manifested in the person of Jesus. But that is a hard thing about scripture. I'm like, oh, just get ready, buckle up. Cause when you, it's dividing to the soul and the spirit. And so he was so kind to me in writing this to remind me, this is still what you need. And yeah. I am drawing you deeper in and higher up into me, and don't miss what I'm doing here. Yeah. And actually I have you in over your head for a reason, because you know that you need me. And so in some ways, this is this, the record that I just released and this book are more prayed over than almost anything I've ever done. Cause I am like, oh Lord, I do not have enough in me. Come Jesus. And so I'm so looking forward to seeing just how he'll continue to use his word, as even I'm reminded, as other people say, oh, I connected with this day. I so look forward to seeing him love us all enough to not leave us as we are, to continue to draw us near, to say, oh, honey, you don't have to carry this. Lay that down. Mm-hmm. That is not something that you need. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's beautiful. I love that. And as I talk to different authors and you have conversations like this, it's so sweet to see how the Lord meets us all in different ways. But it seems like when I talk to my friends about their books, it's always this recurring theme of like, this is the anthem of like my actual soul right now, you know, like when he leads us into like a message or a song or an album or a book, it's really like, okay, this is the deep heart work, Lord, that you have done in me for years. And now like the world gets to hear about it. Right. Right. 100%. And
it's so good. And honestly, I mean, that's just it. Right. And that's like, this record that I just wrote too, it's like, this is what I have needed. Like, this is what my soul desperately needed. And I think sometimes you walk through seasons like that, and these lessons sometimes, like, truth is hard. The truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. It has over and over and over again for me, but it doesn't mean that the truth of being a human in a broken world is not hard to bear or stand up in or to own. But there is like a truer truth that runs underneath all of our brokenness, of this current of love that is is ever present. And that kind of runs deeper than our deepest places of brokenness. And what God is in the business of doing is taking the things that we've missed that have been hard to learn, taking our brokenness, the broken places in our story, and saying, I will meet you even there. And watch how I turn this place that you think is a wound, that you think ends at the grave, and watch me resurrect life out of this. Watch me heal. Watch me comfort. Watch me use your broken, open heart and pour my love through actually a wider conduit wider conduit than it was ever there before. And it is backwards and upside down. You know, like it's not easy per se, but it is beautiful and worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree. That's so beautiful. Well, I am so excited that Canyon is going to be like the anthem of this season of my life. Like I said, I look back to your previous albums and I think, like, I remember Red Sea Road. I was single in that season. I was really struggling with, like, I was in a million and one weddings and like, when's it going to be my turn? Ooh, like it was that season of my mid-20s. I think about that when I think of Red Sea Road. Now I'm in the season where I'm writing my first book and I'm just saying yes to God for this whole podcast thing. And I just love, like, it's been the anthem of my work days for the last few days, just like getting ready to talk to you. And I love that. Because you have been, like I said, a part of my life for a long time. And so I'm so excited about Fighting Words. I'm so excited about Canyon and just all God is doing through you. We are going to hop on over to our Patreon community for a quick little bonus round with Ellie before we let her go. But I want everybody to go grab Fighting Words and the new album wherever you listen to music and grab your books. But Ellie, I just want to say a huge, huge thank you for all God's done through all the yeses you have said to God that have impacted my life and for this new book. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. It's a joy. And I love that you said that, because I think one of the best things is a surrendered yes in the hands of a God who loves us, even when we have to go scared. You know, you're like, okay, I don't know why you're calling me to this. Me? You're like, I think it was somebody else. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Whether
yeah,
that's a
I know.
And that doesn't have to be a book or a podcast. It could be that, but it could be a conversation with a stranger.
That's right.
It could be a conversation yeah. with a neighbor. It could be an apology or repenting mm-hmm. for something. It could be saying yes to helping somebody make spreadsheets who's really struggling being organized. I just think there are a thousand
Amen.
Ways that we can give our surrendered yes to Him. And I just want to encourage you, if you're listening, that the beauty of being alive is entering into that partnership yes. of getting to say, okay, I'm going to say yes to where you're leading me, even though I'm not sure that I'm the right person for the job.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Well, you do this so beautifully, and it's just an honor to get to chat with you. So thank you for being
Thanks
on today.
Thanks for having me today.
Okay, how much did you love talking with Ellie about fighting words? I think this message matters so much right now, and I hope you will go grab her book and tell her how much you enjoyed having her on the show. I am so thrilled you would join me for another conversation here on the Radical Radiance podcast. And I have such a special guest next time for you. We have Jordan Rayner here to talk all about his new message, Redeeming Your Time. I can't wait to share this conversation with you next time, same place. So I will catch you then.